In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. So, my brothers and sisters in Christ, here we are again, celebrating, embracing the triumphal entry into Jerusalem of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. This is that bright interlude between Lent and Holy Week. We have bright vestments today, not purple. We return to purple tonight. But yesterday's, having celebrated the raising from the dead of Lazarus, a preview of our Lord's resurrection and the resurrection of all of us by the grace and mercy of God. And today, his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, our Lord's, that is. So it's this brightness, this little glimmer of brightness, which gives us a preview of what will be inevitably the future. When we think of the word triumph, we usually envision a physical force overcoming another physical force. But the significance of this day is seen in a different realm. Here we have our Lord Jesus, just as after he had miraculously raised Lazarus from the dead, his having been dead for 4 days, and entering Jerusalem. One might think that the mode of such an entry would be flamboyant. I mean, after all, Christ, to the amazement of all, had by his word alone brought a man who had been dead for 4 days back to life. One might expect an impressive parade of power. St. Gregory Palamas addresses this expectation when he writes, "Your king," he says, "does not arouse fear in those who see him, nor is he an oppressor or an evildoer accompanied by shield bearers and spearmen, trailing behind him a host of foot soldiers and cavalry, passing his life in greed for gain, demanding taxes and tributes and unpleasant and harmful labors and services. By contrast, his banner is humility, poverty, and lowliness, and he enters mounted upon an ass without any human pretensions at all. He is the only righteous king who righteously saves. He is meek, and meekness is his distinctive work. The Lord said of himself, 'Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart.'" So the king who had raised Lazarus from the dead entered Jerusalem sitting upon an ass. Everyone, children, men, old people, immediately spread their garments in the way. They took palm branches, which are symbols of victory, and went to meet him as the life giver and victor over death. They fell at his feet and escorted him in procession, singing together not just outside but also inside the precincts of the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna in the highest." Hosanna is a song of praise directed to God, which means save us. St. Gregory Palamas. So the kingdom of God, which is ushered in by Christ, is the kingdom of the heart, of the inner man, of the soul. The Jews were expecting in the Messiah the establishment of an external earthly kingdom. Instead, our Lord Jesus Christ made manifest a kingdom of humility, poverty, and lowliness as he enters Jerusalem mounted on the foal of an ass. And this is only the beginning of what would become his passion. For this entry into Jerusalem is the first step of his volitional offering of himself. In St. John Chrysostom's liturgy, one of the silent prayers goes like this. On the night in which he was betrayed, and then it says, comma, or rather gave himself up. Nobody forced our Lord to go through the passion. Nobody forced him to take our human nature to himself. Nobody forced him to suffer, to die, to go through the indignity of death on a cross, and to descend into the very bowels of hell itself. Nobody forced him to do that. St. Paul tells us he did that for the joy set before him, because of his love for you and for me. He was glad to do it, and he was intent that he would do it. And he did it his way. There was no other. The only begotten Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, did not take our human nature so that he could reign over an earthly kingdom. His incarnation was not for himself, for he needs nothing. God became man, never ceasing to be God, in order to show mankind what he intended for human nature to be. But he went beyond teaching, admonishing, and performing miracles, as important as these things were. He confronted the very source of all evil and suffering, Satan himself. But this confrontation was not primarily a physical battle involving earthly force. In fact, his triumph was precisely effected by his love for mankind and his humility. He would subject himself to that force of evil that mankind fears the most, death. Today's entry into Jerusalem is called a triumph, because in it we see the Lord Jesus Christ, having raised Lazarus from the dead, now fearlessly and for the joy set before him, moving toward his once for all perfect sacrifice of himself for the sins of all mankind. Satan really thought he had him. He really thought he had him when he got on the cross. The fathers of the church teach us that his human nature, in fishing vernacular, became the bait. The hook was his divine nature, because he's both. He's fully God and he's fully man. And the devil, in his stupidity, thought that if he killed Christ, he could be equal to God and even over God. But when he bit down on the bait, he found out that he had made a terrible mistake. He bit into divinity, and divinity did him in. The gates of hell were ripped apart. The power of death was broken. And the possibility for you and for me to enter that kingdom of God, to be reconciled to the God who made us, to become like him, that possibility became real because of this once for all perfect sacrifice. So this humble offering of himself was the beginning of the end of the power of death. He showed us the way to experience this victory in our lives: humility, love, trust in God, the living God, the true God, the one true God who has revealed himself to mankind, the God who trampled down death by death. This is the God we worship. He took up his cross. He calls each of us to do likewise, knowing that he has overcome the world. May we embrace this as our destiny. May we take up our cross and follow him into his kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.